On the occasion of Charlotte's baptism here this evening, I thought it would be both good and also helpful for us to look in the Bible at an account of a lady called Lydia. We've just read the account of Lydia there in Philippi 2,000 years ago. The obvious link here is this, that Lydia was a woman who came to believe and to be baptized, just as Charlotte is a young woman who has come to believe and this evening is being baptized. What I want us to do now in this part of the service is to look at what happened to Lydia all those years ago. And why what happened to Lydia happened to Lydia, because then I hope we'll be very clear about what has happened to Charlotte and why it has happened to her. So I hope it'll be helpful for us to examine, first of all, what happened in Lydia's life as a pointer to what's happened in Charlotte's life. And not only will that be helpful, but I trust it will be a challenge to us too. Has what's taken place in Lydia's life and Charlotte's life taken place in your life? You're bound to be left with that question as we consider these things here this evening. I want to begin by giving three quick answers to three very simple questions. The questions are when, where, and who. I want to ask those questions about Charlotte and about Lydia too. Let's start with the question, when? When was Charlotte Cook baptised? Well, in years to come, we'll say it was on the 29th of November 2009. That's when. We can be very precise, even to the minute. What about Lydia? How do we answer the question, when, for her? Well, we can be fairly precise about that date too. We believe it took place in the year 52 AD. That's 1957 years ago. Trying to locate that in some kind of Bible history, we need to recognise that that's after the Lord Jesus Christ has been born at Bethlehem, the event we celebrate particularly at Christmas. It's after he's spoken the wise words of teaching which he brought. It's after the years when he did the miracles. It's after his death on the cross for our sins. It's after he's been raised again from the dead. It's after he's gone back to be with his loving Heavenly Father in heaven. It takes place after those events. Not long after those events, a man called Saul of Tarsus was breathing out murderous threats against the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hated the name Jesus, he hated Christians, and he voted to have them put to death. But then on one occasion, as he was on the road to Damascus, he himself came to believe. He was converted. The great murderer, the great threat of the New Testament church, himself came to be a believer. And not long after that, he was sent out to preach the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us of his three missionary journeys, and we find him here in Acts chapter 16 in his second missionary journey. He's gone out to tell other people the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's got good news for people, a message of life, and he goes out to preach it. And we believe he preached it here in the year AD 52. We can even be more precise, it was a Saturday. For the Bible tells us that it was a Sabbath, which in those days, of course, was a Saturday. So on one Saturday in AD 52, Lydia was baptised. Where was she baptised? Well, we know that Charlotte's going to be baptised here in Shepshed. Lydia was baptised in a place called Philippi. Philippi is in eastern Macedonia, it's in northern Greece. It was established by the king of Macedon, a man called Philip, hence why it's called Philippi, Philip II, and it was in Europe, obviously. And this account that we just read together is significant because we read here of the first European convert to Christianity. It's the woman Lydia. Philippi was a Roman colony, had a good road and river network, it was a good place to do trade and to do business, which is why Lydia came there. Where did this take place? Well, outside the city gates, by the riverside, at a place where prayer was customarily made. So we know when Lydia came to believe and was baptised. We know where that took place and who. Well, we know that it's Lydia. Very little mention is made of her in the Bible. Her name is mentioned twice in this chapter, once in verse 14 and again in verse 40. But she's a woman of great significance to us. Lydia was a businesswoman. Charlotte's doing business studies. That's the only link I could find there. Lydia was a seller of purple cloth. Charlotte marched in a bright green coat this morning. I was thinking, what a shame it wasn't purple. But never mind. I can't change that. Lydia was a seller of purple cloth. She was a textile saleswoman. And her speciality was purple dyed cloth. She'd have taken cloth and she herself would have baptized that cloth in purple dye. She'd have put it right underneath the dye so that it came out a royal kingly purple. Well, Charlotte's being baptised in a place which has a history of textiles and hosiery. That's about the nearest we can get to Lydia's interest in textiles. She wasn't in her home, because Lydia, we read, was from Thyatira. She was a worshipper of God, but as we shall see this evening, though she was both religious and devout, she was at this point yet to be a Christian. It's here in these verses that she comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for herself. So that's the very quick answers to when, where, and who. The next question, and the most important one this evening, is what happened next? Often ask that question on the television, don't they? What happened next? Well, in this place, we simply read in these verses that Paul and his companions spoke to the women who gathered in this place of prayer on the Sabbath day. As they spoke to her, the Bible makes it very clear that the Lord, that's God himself, opened Lydia's heart, and as we read here, to heed the things. That means at least to pay attention to them. It means to have them applied to your life, your heart and your mind. So they spoke, and the Lord opened her heart that these things would truly be applied right into her life. The scripture is plain that this woman came to believe and be baptized. She then offered Paul and his companions hospitality in her own home. We read of that in verse 16. Also, later on in the chapter, we would have gone on to read that Paul and Silas are then imprisoned for their preaching, and when they come out of prison, they go again to Lydia's house for hospitality. Now, from that simple description, just a few verses here in the Bible, we learn some glorious and very significant truths. From that simple description, we learn something glorious about what it is to actually come to faith. Something glorious about what it is to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. We learn something glorious about what it is to be converted, to become a Christian. And I hope that you'll pay attention to these points briefly here this evening to see how significant they are. Lydia came to faith. Charlotte's come to faith. Have you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? The first thing I want to say is this. The Bible makes it very plain that coming to faith is nothing less than a glorious supernatural work of God himself. Let me say that again for you to take in. Coming to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is nothing less than this. It's a glorious supernatural work of God himself. Now that's very important for us. It might take us by surprise this evening. It's important because as a human race we are so very self-centered. It's part of our sinful human nature. But we're so self-centered that we're not looking for God today. And we're not looking to God to do things. The great tragedy of the human race is that it has written God out of the script with regard to themselves. In its pride, in its arrogance, that's what men and women and young people do. They effectively attempt to write God out of the script of their own lives. We're so wrapped up in what we do and what we say and how we respond that we've lost the wonder of who God is. And we've also lost the wonder of true Christianity. I wonder if you recognise that about yourself this evening. That you've lost your appreciation of the supernatural, of the work of God, of the person of God, as we try to explain everything away. You see, Charlotte's coming to faith is nothing less than a glorious supernatural work of God. But I'm absolutely convinced that many people will try to explain it away. Oh, Charlotte's getting baptised. Well, she's always been to church, as though that's enough, and you just then grow up naturally and get baptised. There's lots of people who grow up in churches who never come to believe and never come to be baptised. I'm sure people are trying to explain this evening away. Well, it's the influence of her mum and dad. She's eventually succumbed to the pressure. That's how people can try to explain it away. Well, she's following her brother, of course. I mean, he got baptised last year, you know, and that's what they do at that church. So that's why she's doing it. And this is typical of the human heart, always trying to explain it away and having no place in an event for God himself. Explaining tonight away as though coming to faith is nothing more than a human submission to family expectations, family traits, brainwashing. As we shall see, it's none of the sort. Don't miss the glory of this. In verse 14, we read these words. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And don't miss this. Three persons are spoken of in that verse. One is speaking a message, that's Paul. One is listening to a message, that is Lydia. But there's another one who is at work, actually in both of them, but specifically in Lydia. And that's the Lord. For we read in this verse that a heart was opened. And the opening of that heart was not the work of Paul who spoke. And it wasn't the work of Lydia who listened. The Bible's absolutely clear. The Lord opened her heart. Who opened her heart? The Lord. It's a glorious and supernatural work of the living God. And that's exactly the same for Charlotte. People have spoken to her. She will admit sometimes she hasn't listened. Sometimes she has. But her heart's been opened. She hasn't done that. Her family haven't done that. Nobody speaking to her has done that. The Lord has done that for her. It's a glorious and supernatural work. Now, people will try and write that off. But that's the explanation. That's what the Bible says. That's Charlotte's testimony. It's what the Bible teaches. It's what the Christian believes. The one true living God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the maker of heaven and earth, the sender of the rain and the sunshine, the giver of every good and perfect gift, has done a work in Charlotte. He's actually brought her to what the Bible calls a new birth. Charlotte didn't decide to be born the first time, physically. She had no part in her conception. Spiritual life begins with a spiritual birth. And the author of that new life is God alone. So please hear that this evening. Coming to faith is nothing less than a glorious supernatural work of the living God. Secondly, we can be more specific than that. Coming to faith involves God opening someone's heart. That's what we've read in this verse. The Lord opened her heart. It's a work of God, but what is the work that God does? Well, here it's described as opening her heart. Elsewhere, we sometimes read God opens eyes or God opens ears. Here it's spoken of in terms of opening her heart. Well, if it was previously, if it's now being opened, then previously it must have been shut. That's obvious, isn't it? If the Lord opens a heart, it must previously have been closed or shut. And that's important for us to understand the work that's gone on here. God opened Lydia's heart, which was previously closed. Now, why was Lydia's heart closed? It's vital that we understand that this evening. Christianity is often said to be this, that the heart of the matter is the matter of the human heart. And here, Lydia's heart has clearly been closed, but then the Lord has opened it. What does it mean to have a closed heart? Well, the Bible has some very uncomplimentary things to say about the human heart. And it's important that we hear them, because they're true of our hearts, just as they were true of Charlotte's and of Lydia's. When the Bible speaks of our hearts in this way, it means that which is at the centre of our being, our heart. And the Bible says these words, "The human heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" The human heart is deceitful above all things, rotten to the core, corrupt. I sometimes like to bring out an apple and open it up, and it's a rotten apple. And it's rotten right the way from the core. You see all the brown from the centre outwards. And that's a very helpful picture to us of the human heart. Of course, that's not our natural way of thinking about our hearts. We're often offended by what the Bible says about our hearts. We often switch off when we come to passages where the Bible speaks about what our hearts are like. Sometimes we sit there and resist what is being said about our own heart. I urge you this evening to pay attention. Because what this says about a human heart, it's saying about your heart. And that's important because unless you're a convinced atheist here this evening, you probably, like everyone else, thinks that there is a God and that human beings are open to him or her or whatever he is. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that our hearts are closed. See, the Bible says there is a God who made us. But as a result of the first humans rebelling against him, the whole human race, we're all now by nature, separated from God, separated from his life, on account of our sin, our rebellion. Jesus told the story of those who would not have this man to reign over them. And that's the state of the human heart with regard to Jesus Christ. Perhaps you know it in your own heart this evening. Perhaps you'll give a little leeway to some religion, to the possibility that there may be a God. But when you come to the teaching of the Bible as to who Jesus is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you say, that's not for me. I won't have that man to reign over me. And that's a demonstration to you that your heart is closed. The Bible actually goes on to say the human mind is hostile to God. That from our first birth we're enemies of God, that we're spiritually dead. That our hearts are, as we sang in our last hymn, proud and stubborn. And that, of course, is the history of mankind. Proud and stubborn hearts that are closed to the living God. Many things in life are hard to open. The padlock on our garden shed is one of them. A tin of beans is another. A safe can be another. That little clasp on the back of a necklace. I'm sure you can all think of something in your life, things that are very hard to open. Well, next time you come to that object, I hope you remember what's been said here this evening and think, ah. But the Bible says there's nothing so hard to open as a human heart. So hard that only God can do it. To come to faith, Lydia's, Charlotte's heart needed opening, and God needed to do that work, and hallelujah, it's glorious. He's done it. He's done it. Elsewhere it's described as opening eyes so that people can see, opening ears so that people really hear what God is saying to them. Our last song this evening is going to be the great hymn of Wesley, who speaks of the time when his language, he says of God, "Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flamed with light." He realizes that God did a work to open his eyes to bring him to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to faith is nothing less than a glorious supernatural work of God. Specifically, it's a work where God opens hearts. Lydia's hard heart and closed heart, Charlotte's hard heart and closed heart needed to be opened. No one in her family could do that. She could not do it. The remarkable thing is that God stooped to do it. God has done the work. Another thing that's remarkable about that is this: that it's the very one to whom her heart was closed that has opened it. That's staggering, isn't it? The very one to whom that heart was closed has been pleased to go and open that heart. That leads us, thirdly, and we're drawing to an end now, to see, thirdly, that coming to faith involves understanding and receiving a message. It's a work of God. It's a work in which he opens hearts. But notice then, her heart was opened to heed the things spoken by Paul, to pay attention to them, to apply her mind to them. Other translations say her heart was opened to respond to Paul's message. And that's important, because God opened her heart that she would be empowered to believe and to respond to the wonderful good news that Paul preached to her. So her heart was open with a very clear purpose, and that was that she, Lydia, would come to believe, would come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and the message about him. And that's important because her heart was open to believe things that a man called Paul spoke. She responded to Paul's message. And we need to know in closing what Paul's message was. Because Paul's message wasn't a message which he himself had made up. Paul's message was a message given to him directly by the risen and living Lord Jesus Christ. If we look through this book in the Bible, the Acts of the Apostles, we'll see Paul frequently preaching. And we can see what the heart of that message is. The heart of the Christian message is that in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him alone, there is forgiveness of sins. If the living God recorded our sins and treated us accordingly, he being holy and we being sinful, not one of us in this building could stand this evening. He's a holy God. He's an all-consuming fire. If he treats us as our sins deserve, we will be punished for our sins, and that will involve an eternity of conscious punishment from the living God. But the message is that with this same God there is forgiveness, that he might be reverenced and worshipped and adored. And that's the message which Paul would have spoken to Lydia. A message of forgiveness to which she would have been called to respond in repentance, turning from her sin and putting her trust in Jesus. That's the message she responded to. That's the message which pierced her heart. That's the message that was used of the living God to bring her to faith in Jesus. And the message simply is that there is one true living God. And we know who he is and how he works because he's made it very plain to us here in the pages of Scripture. He is the author of this book, and he has made himself known. And the wonderful thing is that we can come to know him for ourselves. The part of the message is that we have all sinned against this God. We all, like sheep, have turned away and turned each one to his or her own way. That's part of the message that the Christian preaches today, and Paul would have preached all those years ago. That in our pride and in our arrogance, we think that we know better. And so we refuse to go his way, we go our way. And the Bible is clear that as a result of our sin, we are under the fair judgment of God, under his wrath and his condemnation, facing that eternal separation that I have just spoken of. And it's important that we come to know what is true about the living God. And it's so important that we come to realize the truth about ourselves. It dawned into Lydia's heart on this particular day. I wonder if it's dawned on your hearts that there is a living God and you are separated from him on account of your sin. And yet, in his great love and mercy, he has sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to go to a cross and to lay down his own perfect, sinless life as a sacrifice for sin. That God has so loved you that he sent Christ to pay the price of your sin, that you might enjoy forgiveness and freedom. That God so loved you, and he knows you by name, and he knows how much you've resisted him, yet he still loved you so much as to send his Son on that cross to turn aside the anger of God from all who would believe. You see, the Bible says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And on the cross, Jesus Christ had visited upon him the wrath of God against the sin of all who would come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. People like Lydia and people like Charlotte. And in hearing that simple message of who God is and what we are like in our rottenness to the core, and yet the marvellous, magnificent love of God demonstrated to us in this, that whilst we were sinners, Christ died for us. The good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. In hearing that message, Lydia came to faith. And the Bible's plain, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so on this day, Lydia turns from her sin, and she believes in the Lord Jesus. And Charlotte has turned from her sin, and come to believe in the Lord Jesus. Have you turned from your sin to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to know Almighty God for yourself, to know for yourself the blessedness of all of your sins forgiven in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that he paid the price of your sin and was even a guilt offering for you? If you've never done that, then I urge you this evening, having heard of who God is, having heard of what is true of you in your sin, and having heard that there is salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you to repent too, to turn from your sin and to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, to go back to God is to find a Father's welcome, and to find a pardon for all our sin. It's to know peace with God. And it's to know that no longer are we on the broad way which shall lead to destruction, but that now we're on the narrow way which leads to eternal life. Are you still on the broad way this evening? I call you in the name of Jesus to come off of that way, to turn from your sin and to believe in him, then you too shall be saved. one final thing before we close. And mostly for Charlotte, this one. Notice lastly, Charlotte, that coming to faith involves leading a life of faith. Coming to faith involves leading a life of faith. Do you notice that here in Lydia's life, it's not the end, it's the beginning? It's a changed life. And that's what Christianity is. That's what conversion is. We know when somebody's truly been converted because we see it by their fruits. That's exactly what the Bible says, by their change in their life. And very briefly here this evening, just notice that Lydia's open heart led to an open home. When her heart was opened by God, she then opened her home to give hospitality and enjoy Christian fellowship. And we find that's often the case with Christians in the Bible. Two tax collectors, one called Zacchaeus, one called Levi, or Matthew, when they come to faith, we find they open their homes. And that's what happens in the life of a believer. One of the first signs in a credible conversion is this: a desire to be with other converts. A desire to be with other Christians. That doesn't mean that as Christians we flee from the world and no longer have friendships with people who aren't Christians. It doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that the new heart seeks after and longs for Christian company. It doesn't mean Lydia didn't have any other friends, but an opened heart loves something that the shut heart didn't. And that was to be in the company of fellow believers. You see, the new heart has new appetites. Charlotte, feed those appetites. You've been given a new heart, your old heart's been taken out, you've been given a new one. Feed that heart, that you would grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be devoted to the apostles' doctrine. Be devoted to the breaking of bread. Be devoted to the church prayer. Be devoted to the Lord's Supper. Be devoted to fellowship. The one life that we share in our Lord Jesus Christ. The new heart has new appetites. God himself did a work in Lydia. He opened a closed heart. He enabled her to hear the timeless message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Lydia repented and believed. Her open heart led to an open home and a desire for Christian company. God himself has done a work in Charlotte. He has opened her closed heart. He has enabled her to hear the timeless message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Charlotte has repented and believed. What of you this evening? It's glorious that God himself does this work. Glorious that he opens the stubborn and resistant heart, the heart that was closed against he himself. Glorious that he causes us to hear this unique message and humbles us to believe it and to receive it. Can I urge that you follow the example of Lydia and the example of Charlotte and turn from your sins to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself.